Navy officials assure worried members of Congress that the United States is still dominant in every area of maritime warfare. The problem, they say, is that other nations are advancing their technologies faster than the United States is, and at some point, they'll catch up.
The only way to prevent that, Navy and Marine Corps officials told the House Appropriations Committee Tuesday, is to find ways to make defense technology and procurement processes move much more quickly than they do today. Admiral John Richardson is the Chief of Naval Operations.
The pace is the issue, and in every one of those things, as we strive to move into what I would describe as maybe the fifth generation of warfare, we are outpaced right now. And so we need to, that is why the Secretary and the Commandant and I are so focused on this aspect of speed, because while we do enjoy a margin of superiority now, that is perishable. And if we don't pick up speed, we're going to be challenged.
Navy Department leaders say they have several strategies for picking up the pace, but most of them have to do with ensuring that new technologies don't spend years in laboratories and testing processes before they get into the hands of sailors and Marines who can provide feedback on whether System A or System B is a good idea to begin with. Navy Secretary Ray Mabus.
Do the initial testing here or on shore, but then get them to the fleet. Let sailors, let Marines test them in far more operational conditions, see what works, succeed faster, or see what doesn't work, fail faster, instead of going through the years-long process and then beginning the operational testing. We are facing more threats and more competition from countries than we have in years since the days of the Cold War and near-peer competitors. But I think that given the trajectory that we're headed on, as long as we don't have to sequester or some large disruption, as long as the Ohio-class replacement is funded in a way that it doesn't disrupt every other program that the Navy has, then I think that we can proceed with a good bit of confidence.
The trajectory includes two new Navy programs explicitly designed to promote rapid acquisition and to find out whether a given technology is feasible before top officials commit billions of dollars toward its development. For urgent capabilities that commanders say need to be deployed to the fleet right away, the Navy recently set up a rapid prototyping, experimentation, and demonstration initiative. The idea is to bring the department's best technical experts together in swarms to tackle new problems as soon as they're identified. Again, Admiral Richardson.
We'll adjudicate those urgent needs or opportunities. You know, it doesn't have to be expressed in a need. And will allow us to bring together technologies, engineer them together in creative ways, prototype them quickly, you know, run through a bunch of options, get them out to the fleet sooner so that they're in the hands of sailors and Marines. And that's when learning really starts. We'll figure out very quickly which ideas have merit, which ideas just don't, are dead ends. And, you know, by doing that type of experimentation and prototyping much more quickly, I believe, with confidence that we'll get to solutions that will translate to programs of record much more quickly, and we'll be more confident in the technology that emerges.
For technologies that the Navy already knows it wants to buy, it's created the Maritime Accelerated Capabilities Office, an idea borrowed from the Air Force's Rapid Capabilities Office. The MACO's job will be to put the Navy's technical staff, requirements owners, and acquisition personnel under one roof for urgent projects, hopefully short-circuiting a lot of the delays that happen in the acquisition process just by virtue of shuffling paperwork between those different communities.
MACO to allow a speed lane, if you will, for those programs that qualify, that are sufficiently mature and can get to the fleet to delivery sooner. And so we're leveraging a lot of the techniques and that the Air Force's Rapid Capability Office uses. And we look by virtue of that to get technology into the hands of the warfighter more quickly and then, you know, gradually transition more and more programs over into that speed lane, if you will, so that we can just respond at the speed of the environment, at the speed of technology, at the speed of our competitors.
Richardson says the Navy is closely watching the technological superiority it currently enjoys in four separate areas: surface warfare, aviation, undersea warfare, and cyber. In each case, he's forbidden the use of the word dominance on the nameplates of the offices responsible for them. As one example, Vice Admiral Ted Branch, the Navy's top IT official, was the Vice Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance until 1 month ago. The new term is information warfare.
Admiral Richardson also has interesting thoughts about superiority, supremacy, and dominance, and particularly doesn't like dominance in any area. He doesn't like undersea dominance. He doesn't like air dominance because he says that when you label an area that way, it implies that you're finished. It implies pencils down, you're done, you know, you're dominant. And he recognizes and doesn't want that mindset. He wants everyone to embrace the idea that we have much work ahead of us across the board. So, you know, that's an idea behind the reinforcing fires to move from information dominance to information warfare.
The Navy's ability to stay ahead of potential adversaries is highly dependent on the U.S.-based industrial base. And on that score, officials also expressed concern about a supplier base that is consolidating and shrinking. As one example, Mabus recently notified Congress that there were no domestic suppliers that could build the engine for a new ship that's currently under design to refuel Navy vessels at sea, and invoked a provision in federal law that lets the Navy waive its requirement to use only U.S. companies for critical components of new ships.
One of the things that we've seen as the number of shipyards has decreased, as the number of suppliers to those shipyards has decreased, that many times we're down to one supplier of critical parts. And if something happens to that supplier, we don't have any place to go in the United States. I do not ask for waivers for things like this lightly, because the industrial base that has driven not only the Navy and Marine Corps, but America forward has to be preserved to the maximum extent possible. The only time that I ask for waivers is if there is no American product which meets the specifications, and the specifications are driven by what those ships have to do.
Mabus says the Navy is closely watching its industrial base, but only has a few tools at its disposal to ensure that it remains healthy.
If the part is a big enough concern, there's a thing called the Defense Production Act that says that if we don't have something that we need for national defense that's produced in the U.S. at scale, that with Congress's help, we can invest in it. And we have used DPA for various things, including manufacturing of certain parts for our ships and aircraft.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.